You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us, and we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. Again, that's on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. Kennedy Miller, my man.
Happy New Year.
Can we still say Happy New Year? Like, somebody was like, once you get past like the 6th or the 7th, you can't say Happy New Year. But, you know.
Listen, I've been saying Happy New Year every time I see somebody I haven't seen since 2022.
Hey, man, I can get behind it.
See you, my brother.
Man, I am glad to see you too, man. The folks are glad to have you back, man. You've been out here busy, out here recruiting, out here coaching these games, getting these boys back up to around 500. Ken, you've been a busy man. So where can the folks find you on Twitter, dog?
You can find me on Twitter at _ Kennedy Miller _. Again, that's _ Kennedy Miller _.
All right. We got a lot to get to today, but we're going to start off. I don't know if I call this a somber subject. It's a somber subject for me, not really for you, Kennedy Miller, because you like to laugh about this. As many of you guys know, I used to root for the Houston Texans. I no longer root for the Houston Texans. And that's for a number of reasons. Kennedy Miller, do I have like a short little bit of space to explain why I don't root for the Houston Texans anymore?
This is your platform, my brother. Go off.
So this started in 2020, around March of 2020, around the beginning of the pandemic. And Kennedy Miller, we were at my mama's house recording our quarantine episode when we got news that DeAndre Hopkins had been traded to the Arizona Cardinals for a Section 8 housing voucher and a used condom. And I was like questioning, why could this possibly happen? Because it was the only the work of one Bill O'Brien. A few months later, the Houston Texans gave their quarterback a $100 million contract. The quarterback who we had been hoping for since the franchise was founded in 2002. We finally got the quarterback. We suffered through David Carr, suffered through Matt Schaub, suffered through Fitzpatrick, Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, that thief Brock Osweiler. We finally got the quarterback of the future. Finally. And 6 months after signing that man to a $100 million contract, that man wants out. And why? Because the organization is run by a group of damn fools, led by the owner Cal McNair and his, at that time, second-in-command Jack Easterby, who wouldn't know his ass from his eyes. And then 6 weeks after the quarterback asked for a trade, we find out that man is accused, eventually accused, by 24 women, maybe more, of being a sexual degenerate. So, for those out there, can you see why I can't, why I just looked up and said, why am I here?
Yes.
So I left. I left and I said, you know what? I'm not coming back. Because at this point, I'm starting to think about my sports fandom the way folks think about restaurants. Kennedy Miller, would you continue to go to a restaurant that served nasty food? Would you continue to go back and expect at some point maybe the food will be better?
I sure would not.
The Houston Texans is continuing to root for the Texans for me, felt like. Continue to go to a restaurant where they have hair in your food. Except with the Texans, they ain't putting hair in your food. There's somebody in the back before they bring the food out to you, dropping his drawers and shooting the deuce right on your plate. So given all that, I have spent the last 2 years Texans free, and it's felt so good. But Kennedy Miller, Someone asked me, if the Texans were to draft Bryce Young, would I come back?
Very real possibility that they will.
And, I mean, maybe not now because they blew it. The Texans don't even know how to tank correctly. You saw the game on Sunday. They playing the Colts. All you got to do is lose. The Texans been doing a lot of losing for the past two and three years. A lot of it. But now they decide this is the game we're going to show some metal. We're going to show some fight. This is the game we're going to win. Damn.
Do you think that Chicago is going to draft a quarterback?
Not a chance. But I think what Chicago is going to do is Chicago is going to make people think that they're considering it to try to get more out of a draft haul.
Sure.
For that first pick. I think they're definitely going to end up trading back. And if they don't trade back, they're going to end up drafting Jalen Carter from Georgia. Like, I think that would probably, like, if they stay at one, which, again, I think teams are so thirsty for quarterbacks. Somebody is going to give up the barn to get that number one pick. Indianapolis, maybe Vegas. Mm-hmm. Washington might embarrass themselves. Who knows what'll happen, right? But they were asking me, if the Texans drafted Bryce Young, would I come back? And for a few days, I actually considered, would I go back? And then, late Sunday night, I remembered why I could never go back to the Houston Texans, because the Texans are run by a group of damn fools. I remember why I came. Because they fired Lovie Smith. Second black coach that the Texans have had in a row that they fired after 1 year. Now, I'd like to say, I think it's Lovie Smith probably should have been fired, but Lovie Smith should have never gotten that job in the first place. And the only reason Lovie Smith got that job in the first place is because no one wanted that job. The Houston Texans, I don't know if, Ken, if you heard the episode we did a couple, me and Lamar did, when Deion Sanders got the job at Colorado, I said the Colorado has hired three black coaches in a row. Mm-hmm. This is how you know a job is bad, when white boys don't want it. Anytime, look, when Connor and Kyle are looking like, no, we don't want this guy, this job, give that job to LaShawn and Rashid. This job is better fit for them. That's what the Houston Texans job has become. The Texans, what they have to do at this point is ask themselves the question, why didn't anybody want their job? That's the big thing they have to think about and ask. Why were we down these last two hiring cycles down to David Culley, a guy who none of us in the general public had ever heard about, thought about, or considered for a head coaching job, and Lovie Smith? Those are the two guys you ended up having to hire because no one else would even think about reasonably taking that job. And the Houston Texans have to ask themselves the question, why? And one of the reasons why is the general manager wanted to pick the assistant coaches. And ain't no coach worth a damn gonna go for that.
And I almost forgot.
For the last two hiring cycles, the Texans have tried to hire Josh McCown.
Yep.
Tried to hire Josh McCown. So at this point, Kennedy Miller, I don't know if I could ever go back. I'm resigned to the possibility that the Houston Texans I'm probably going to end up being the Detroit Lions, effectively. Mm. And even the damn Detroit Lions had. Did you see the Lions the other night, bro?
I sure did.
Boy, look, man, the fighting Dan Campbells, man, they play hard.
Yes. Yes, they do.
They play hard. When was the last time we were like, yo, man, we're going to watch the Lions?
I became a believer watching Hard Knocks. I mean, he sold me. He made me want to play for him, too.
I mean, bro, that's the thing. Like, Dan Campbell hiring all these black coaches. And then on top of that, like, they got some grit. They got some grind to them. Yo, they feel like the Memphis Grizzlies.
That's a good comparison.
They feel like the Memphis Grizzlies, bro. And I'm just watching them and I'm like, yo, man, I can't really name a whole lot of y'all on the roster. You know, I know Jameson Williams. He went to Alabama. Aiden Hutchinson, another one of their first rounders. You know, I know a person here, a person there, DeAndre Swift. But past that, they running out here with a bunch of dudes none of us have ever heard of. And the Lions finished with a winning season. Lions had a 6-game improvement.
So the point that you're making, though, it starts with, like, the organization. It starts with Dan Campbell and, you know, the culture that he's building. And the Texans are not building a culture conducive to that. They've got some... Like, I like the kid from Stafford. I like the Peachy kid.
Hey, man.
I think he can play. But, I mean, they just haven't created that type of culture yet where they really know who they are or what they want to be.
Think about it. It's going to be crazy. This is going to be their fourth head coach in four seasons.
Wow.
Think about where this team was a little under 3 years ago. Up 24-0 on the Chiefs. And think about
it. That seems like ages ago.
Ages. I mean, part of that, I think, is because of COVID, and we just got like...
Yeah, was,
yeah, COVID, man, has messed, totally messed up my sense of time. But, dude, that might as well have been 20 years ago. Like, it feels like so long ago.
Yep.
And to be honest with you, as long as you got that idiot Cal McNair running the organization, I don't know when this ever gets better. And, bro, here's the wild thing. Of the McNair family, they said Cal is the one who can't be trusted. So they going to send him over here to run the football team because how badly can that go? And, like, you see how badly this goes. And the thing about a city like Houston is this. If you in a city of Houston and you sorry, ain't nobody coming to see you. Because we got way too many other things to do and way too many other ways to spend money than to watch you be sorry.
Absolutely.
Ken, me and you used to have so many great, fun arguments about the Texans and the Cowboys. For years, we did. For years, we did.
Not no more.
Not yet. Not no more, because I don't give a Look, I said, being in a relationship with the Texans, I'm Helen and the Texans are Charles McCarter. What have I gotten out of this? Seriously, like, Ken, I'm going to ask you this question. As a Cowboy fan, we're going to talk about the Cowboys later. What have you gotten out of your Cowboys fandom? Like, when are the Cowboys legitimately giving you genuine joy? And that's the question I had to ask about the Texans. When are the Texans giving me genuine, real joy? Like, what's been the payoff?
Just gotten some emotional trauma.
Yeah. Look, if it's going to be trauma, if I ain't going to be no payoff from this, I'm going to go do something else.
Yep.
Because I'd rather not get kicked in the ass for 16 weeks, Sunday in and Sunday out. Now, speaking of dysfunction, Ken, how you feel about your Lakers? Well, they're not your Lakers. You're a LeBron fan. Let me correct myself.
Hey, don't do that.
What do you mean, Kennedy Miller? You had never rooted for the Lakers before LeBron showed up in 2018.
You're better than that, Alex Goodwin. You're better than that.
What do you mean I'm better than that?
Okay, now, very dysfunction is the right word. Started off 0-5. Since then, I believe they have a top four record. Since they started off 2-10, top five record in the West for the record since then. Clearly, their roster did not look good enough to compete. Then Anthony Davis started playing out of his mind. Then naturally, he goes down by hitting his foot on Nikola Jokic's foot in midair. They said it was a sprained foot. He got an MRI. Then they said it might be a stress fracture, and he was out indefinitely, but then he was never wearing a boot. Nice, he's got no pain in his foot, so he's ramping up to play in 2 weeks. Now LeBron is playing really good basketball. They just won 5 games in a row and are, if I'm not mistaken, 4 games outside of the number 4 seed, in which they play the number 4 seed, the Dallas Mavericks, Thursday night. Now, here's why I'm optimistic, and I know you always think that I'm a very optimistic guy. Here is why I'm optimistic this time, Alex. Number one, okay, let me just, they have to make a trade, though. They have to make a trade. Now, am I optimistic about that? Hell, I don't think that they will. But there's probably been 7 or 8 guys that you can name me that has played on the level or above the level of LeBron and Anthony Davis this year. So far. Like Luka, Jokic, Tatum, KD. Man, I don't want to miss out anybody that's really been balling.
Kyrie.
Luka, Jokic, Kyrie's been balling. You know, Ja has played well. The Grizzlies are good. But, you know, it's less than 10 people, though. And you have 2 of those people on the same team. That's a playoff team. Like, they've proven now, all those reports were that, oh, well, they don't want to, the front office is afraid to make moves. They don't want to compound the errors that they made before. They don't know if this roster can compete. This roster has shown that it can compete. And if you look in the Western Conference, Alex Goodwin, I want you to really think about this. You've watched Spurs basketball for a long time. How many of these teams do you trust in the playoffs? Seriously. How many of these teams, how many of these players, superstars now, that's where superstars are made, in the playoffs. How many of these guys do you trust to get to at least a Western Conference final?
The Warriors.
And the Warriors are what? Eighth right now? They're in the play-in spot?
They're sixth. Well, at the moment, they're sixth.
At the moment, they're sixth. Okay. They play tonight. I trust the Warriors to be able to get to maybe a Western Conference Finals. I trust the Clippers. And after that, would it surprise you if Denver were to lose in the first or second round, depending on the matchup? No. Would it surprise you if the Pelicans were? I like the Pelicans. Pretty solid team. Would it surprise you if they were to lose in the first or second round? No. Memphis? No. And who else? Sacramento is very young. They're very exciting. No. Now, say LeBron and AD get in there. You tell me this all the time. And knows how to win playoff games, right? Their bodies, they're healthy. They get in, the two of them. I think the only teams in their way are the Clippers and the Warriors. I think they can beat the rest of those guys. I may be delusional. I may be a tad bit delusional. I still think they're a little small, right? They have too many guards. One of them has got to go. Pat Bev, Kendrick Nunn, or Russell Westbrook. Dennis Schroeder's playing well. And another thing, the emergence of Thomas Bryant and Wenyen Gabriel. Now, hear me out when I say this. This is what they lacked last year were guys like this. And Stanley Johnson a little bit, but he wasn't good enough. But guys like this that just played hard. Like, you could tell these guys bring a different energy to it. Because, you know, Bron, they'll miss a shot and not get back on defense. You know, Bron will put his hands up and, you know, be slow getting back. They just be running. They don't care. They play hard all the time. Then you put Russell Westbrook off the bench. Darvin Ham has kind of figured out how to utilize him. And, you know, Russ hasn't been great, but he's been better off the bench than what he was last year. And so I feel like that is the best way at this position, at this stage of his career, to use him for this team. And if they can just trade one of these guys and get a wing, Cam Reddish is available for whatever it was that they traded Deshaun Watson for. use that same trade value and get Cam Reddish. They're giving them away. Like, if they can just get one wing, that's all I'm saying. If they can get one ring, I think the organization thinks that everybody's asking them to make like a drastic move. And I don't think it has to be a drastic move. If they even make a minimal move and just get a solid 6'6 guy, 6'6, 6'7 guy, they'll be fine. And they'll be good enough to compete.
I think the big thing is, and let me first start off by saying, Kennedy Miller, your optimism is always something to behold. Like, let me just start there.
Thank you.
But I will, and look, I'm going to tell y'all this, man. Anytime, you know, Kennedy Miller, the next time I'm having a bad day and feeling off and not feeling positive, I'm going to call you, because the power of positivity lives within you, my good man. It lives within you, sir.
Thank you.
But the thing with the Lakers is this, right? I, Alex Goodwin, am never going to be able to bet on incompetence and bet on an incompetent organization and bet on an incompetent front office. All they have to do is get a wing. That requires Rob Pelinka to be competent. Over the past 5 years, when have we seen Rob Pelinka have an extended period of competence? We saw it from like July of 2019 through the spring of 2020. One extended period of competence. Other than that, he's had his head and his thumb in his ass. Okay? He was the one when LeBron walked in there and said, hey, I want Russell Westbrook. He's like, okay. He wasn't like, that's dumb. We're not going to do that. Right? But the thing is, for me, you are depending on, at this point, LeBron at 38 and Anthony Davis and his 45-year-old body. And the rest of your roster is wildly unimpressive.
Very true.
You still can't shoot. Like, they ain't got two dudes that can knock them down consistently. So if you still have that problem spacing the floor, LeBron James and Anthony, think about it. They have LeBron James and Anthony Davis playing possibly some of the best basketball of their careers. And you're the 12th seed. And I think something else to think about is some of the Lakers' reticence to make a move might be, we're going to make a move, give up a first round pick if we, you know, possibly or something to that effect. And it might make a marginal difference in how the season plays out. Right? So we didn't sacrifice what future we have left in the 27 and 29 first round draft pick all to be out possibly one and done. Because I look at this team and look the way this has played out at best. Like, if they make it to the second round, they've way out kicked their coverage. At best. And
that's true.
And I'll say this, and this might rue the day I say this. I think LeBron James's days of being like contending for championships, I think they're over.
With this incompetent organization? Absolutely.
So he's playing he's chasing Kareem's record and hopefully Pelinka drafts Bronny. But other than that, I don't really know why he's still out here.
But like, I think that they are a much better team than what was first brought out, you know, October 18th or whenever the season started. Like they've been playing much better basketball. Also, like when they first started, Dennis Schroeder and Thomas Bryant were both out for a month with thumb injuries. And those are two starters now. And so, like I said, I don't feel like they are like championship contenders. But again, I do believe if they were to make it in, with them being healthy, which is a big if, considering what you just said, the 38-year-old LeBron and broken body Anthony Davis, depending on the matchup, they can get to the conference finals.
Oh, my Lord. Lord have mercy, God. Kennedy Miller, wait, hold on. You just brought me back. You said something similar this time 4 years ago when LeBron first showed up to L.A. You know exactly what I'm talking about, too.
And damn it, I still believe it. Damn it, I still believe it, Alexander.
Hey, kid. Hey, man. Put the dope down. Put it down. We know, Kennedy, you cannot do all things through LeBron who strengthens you anymore. Those days have passed.
I'm just telling you what my eyes saw. Now, again, I said conference finals. They weren't going to beat the Warriors. But you mean to tell me back then that if they were fully healthy, they were fourth in the West when LeBron went down. Also, LeBron and Rondo went down that game. When they were blowing out the Warriors on Christmas Day, who made it to the conference final? Portland? They could have beat Portland. They could have beat Denver, who made it to the semifinals. They could have beat San Antonio, who was the seventh seed. They were better than them. Who did Portland play in that first round? Ooh, who did Portland play?
Oklahoma City.
But if they...
Oklahoma City, that's when Dame made the shot and waved bye-bye.
Yeah. They could have beat OKC with Russ and Paul George. That whole side over there, they could have beat them guys. If they had got the second or third seed, wherever Denver and Portland were, and they were on that side, they could have made it to the Western Conference Finals.
Hey, man, speaking of you, man, playoff P, man, in terms of the Clippers, I am like, man, if they're healthy, at this point, a ginormous if they're healthy, they've got the best roster in basketball. Just in terms of like length, depth, but Kawhi don't look the same, man.
No, he doesn't.
He does not look the same. And you know, I have been a Kawhi Leonard dude for years, and I am here to tell you, he does not look the same. He doesn't look.
He looks a bit slower.
He looks slow. He doesn't look as athletic.
Yeah.
And he looks kind of tentative. And the weirdest part about this is he blew his knee out in June of 2021. We should not still be talking about this knee injury in January of 2023. That he looks a little tentative. He looks a little something. He doesn't quite look right. Now, we'll have some nights. A couple weeks ago, he had two straight games of, you know, 25, 26 point games, looked like himself. Took over fourth quarter against Washington. Those stretches are few and far in between. And I think maybe to lose just looking like, all right, let's just get Kawhi to the finish line. Let's just get him to April.
Yeah.
And then we're going to let it all hang out from there. But my thing with that is, remembering that 2019-2020 season when the Clippers had all those guys in and out because Kawhi was injured, Paul George was injured, and they couldn't quite get a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're up 3-1 on Denver. And then, I mean, there was COVID happening and it all fell apart for them. But, like, they've got to put together a good string of games soon. They have to. They've got to put together a good string of games soon to at least give me some confidence. Put it all together.
Yeah, because, I mean, I have no problem. I didn't mean to cut you off.
You all good.
I have no problem, like, resting Kawhi Leonard or, like, managing him to get to the playoffs. But it's like, okay, yes, in the playoffs there will be no back-to-backs. But can he still play every other day? Like, I'm not even sure, like, in the intense moments of the season in May and June, can we count on him still to give us 25 to 30 on Monday and then on Wednesday and then on Saturday? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I think the thing with him is when they had that run 2019 in Toronto, Kawhi played, I think, 55, 56 games. you know, and played 30, 31 minutes a night, somewhere around there. But when the playoffs came around, Kawhi played every night and he played 40 minutes a pop.
Right.
Now, that was 4 years ago. And like we mentioned, 2019 feels like eons ago at this point, right? You know, he's 4 years older, another surgery.
Yeah.
You know, whatever degenerative condition he has with his leg, but he just can't give you 82 games, 82 regular season games. And I think it's this deal where it's like this with Kawhi. If Kawhi gonna play 82 games, you're going to get probably 55, 56 regular season games. And if you want to make it to the finals, then you'll get them other 26.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, hey, you look, you want to win the title? All right, I can't play these 30. And I've been saying it for years. That is the formula I think Anthony Davis should have been on for about at least the last 2 or 3 years. Anthony Davis should have been getting load managed a long time ago, the whole deal. And I want to ask you one more quick question before we get to these game picks and get AO on here. Boy, have you seen the Nets? Look at the Nets out here balling something crazy.
Balling.
Look, it is a wonder when you get Kyrie Luther King to stop reading these self-published books and to stop all the shiblimery, what he can do. Once you get him to stop shiblimming, you like, boy, he can hoop. And yeah, he has been hooping.
Shout out to the Nets, though.
Shout out to Jacques Vaughn.
Yeah, shout out to Jacques Vaughn for sure.
Hey, I got a question. Yo, is it just me, or do Jacques Vaughn and Lovie Smith look the exact same?
They do look alike. Lovie just look a little heavier, but they look like they are definitely related.
Both of them look like Uncle Ben.
Because of that gray beard.
You know, I guess that's what the old folks say is seasoned.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, joining us to do these game picks, Aaron O'Connor Fool. He is going to tap in. You know, typically we bring him on. We're doing the Cowboys crack house. We're going to bring him in for, you know, give him a little hit right quick. Give him a quick little needle, quick little, you know, get your elbow ready. Ayo, man, how you feeling over there, dog?
I'm feeling pretty sober. I'm not going to lie. I was about high as a kite going into the last week of the season. And, I'm going through withdrawals. I don't know what to expect this coming weekend, but, hey, man, you know, prayers up.
Hey, man, he said, I'm feeling pretty sober. He said, I'm feeling pretty sober. Hey, man, I know why you're probably feeling sober as all hell. Your quarterback. And, yo, I'm going to tell y'all this. Man, Dak Prescott puts y'all through a lot. He really does. He puts you through a lot. And I'm going to tell you right now, after he got hurt in week one, I was about to call the NAACP because y'all was trying to replace him with damn Cooper Rush. And as much as the Cowboys irritate my soul, and it's mainly y'all Cowboy fans who can't get off the hair rod, one thing I was not about to let happen is let Dak Prescott get replaced by a mediocre white man. But man, Dak Prescott is making it hard for even me to defend him right now.
I'm not going to lie. Dak Prescott is the toxic boyfriend. That he your homeboy that's doing that girl wrong, and you know he doing her wrong, and you keep telling him stop doing her wrong, but he keep having fun doing her wrong until it blow up in his face, and then he meet a new girl the next year and do the same thing all over again. That's Dak Prescott. He'll lead you on. he'll lead you. He'll take you to the nicest places when the weather is nice. You know, it's a nice breeze. The sun is out. Everything looks fantastic. But my God. As soon as it gets cold, he's not going to give you his hoodie when you get cold outside, okay? He's not going to hold no more doors for you. He's not buying you food no more. That's what Dak Prescott is. Right towards the end of the year, when all the marbles are at the table, he seizes up. So I'm very terrified for this weekend against the greatest quarterback of all time, who is also 7-0 against the Cowboys. Hey, look. It's going to be a miracle. It will be a miracle if he happens to pull this off.
Last year, the Cowboys probably had one of the top three rosters in football. And the Cowboys were one and done. So this year, with a roster that's not as good and not as healthy, why should anybody expect a better result?
Well, they're playing against a worse team. I think San Francisco was really good last year. and one of the few teams that really exploited our weakness. Now, I mean, we didn't play well in that game as it is, but San Francisco was definitely a team that I was afraid of, just with their ability to just move all their best players around, how good their defensive line is. So, I didn't want to see them again this year in the first round, because I figured we'd be going if we saw them again.
But your quarterback is playing worse, though.
Yeah, no, he's not playing well. And Tampa Bay is not a team that I want to see in the first round either. I would have loved to see, like, the Giants or, the Vikings or somebody. Like, I'm not worried about those teams. And if we get past this, then, honestly, the only team I'm worried about, again, it would be the 49ers. I'm not really worried about the Eagles.
Your quarterback leads the league in interceptions, and he missed 5 games.
Yep.
Like, he tied with Davis Mills, and Davis Mills is cheeks. Like, we should not be talking about Dak Prescott and Davis Mills in the same conversation. Right? Then, on top of that, like I said, man, BBW, Jason Garrett. I would be, like, I promise you, if you give this roster to another coach, like, if you gave Mike Tomlin this roster, you're probably going to the Super Bowl. So, guys, let me ask you, you got Dallas winning by how much on Monday?
I would say the Cowboys win. It's got to be maybe like 28-24, 31-24. Because I don't, like, Tampa Bay, their offense has been very iffy. I think it's only been one time they scored over like 23 points all season. They haven't been great at stopping the run. I still think we're going to win, even as bad as my quarterback is playing. And if we do win that game, if you can get past the first one, depending on who you play, I think you can. They have a chance to get to the NFC Championship.
So I got the Cowboys, believe it or not. I actually do have the Cowboys winning the game. I have it by, I'm thinking that Tampa's going to cover it. But if the Cowboys are going to win, it's going to be below 7 points, a below 7 point victory. I don't know exactly where it's going to be between 3 and 7, but that's what it's going to be. This is not going to be a walk in, handle business, walk out type of deal. This is going to come down to the wire, probably a field goal. And it's really going to depend on if Dak shows up to play and brings his B+ to A game. And if Micah Parsons shows up to play,
we might just walk in and walk out. How you guys going to feel if they don't win?
I would not be surprised at all. It's Tom Brady. No, but it's Tom Brady. Brady.
It is funny. Brady. This is probably the worst Tom Brady we've ever seen. Like, this is the worst of him. Yeah, but it's still time. And I'm going to tell you this, right? Like, I tend to think this, right? There are things 45-year-old men shouldn't be doing. One is going to the club. Two is hollering at women half their age. And three is dressing like Jagged Edge. Four is still doing strenuous physical exercise. And that's what Tom Brady's doing at this point. And he isn't what he used to be. But I tell you what's terrifying. Buccaneers have done all year. Is basically, defense is going to just try to keep games close enough, because all they need to do is make one drive or two drives at the end. That's been the plan. And most times, they've had 4 fourth quarter comebacks, and I think they had another one against, I can't quite remember who they played this year, but they were within one of tying the game, went for the 2-point conversion, didn't get it. That's a tough one. This is going to be a rough one, Jack. A rough one. All right, moving on. We got Baltimore and Cincy. Ken, who you got?
I'm going to go with Baltimore, man. I think Baltimore, I'm going to roll with Baltimore here. I know they're going to be on the road, but if Lamar plays, I think that Baltimore can win. And I know Cincinnati's been on the road. They haven't lost since Halloween. I just have a feeling that Baltimore is going to take it, and Lamar is still trying to prove that he deserves his money. And I hope that he gets it.
All right. I'm going to go Cincinnati. Hottest team in the league. Lamar's coming off injury. Maybe he has the rhythm. Maybe he doesn't. Bengals by 10.
I wouldn't say Bengals by 10, just because, I'm so used to the Ravens defense being good. I almost subconsciously just referred to that, but they really haven't been top tier this year. They've given up, I believe, more than 4 fourth quarter leads. I'm picking the Bengals. I'm picking them by a touchdown, though, just a touchdown. I'm not sure if Lamar is playing, but that would really tip the scales. Joe Burrow has been tearing it up in the NFL, but not against the Ravens. He actually averages, I believe, like 220 yards passing against them. I think one touchdown and a pick. That's kind of pedestrian. So if he shows up there in that pass rush, and then Lyle Collins went down. He's hurt for the season. So if that pass rush starts getting home, Joe Burrow can only do so much, which is crazy to say, because he can literally do so much, but for lack of a better phrase, he can only do so much.
Jacksonville playing host to the Chargers. I want Jacksonville to win. Shout out to Doug Peterson. Shout out to Trevor Lawrence. Shout out to competence. And I promise you, Urban Meyer shouldn't see heaven. He should not see heaven. Because he had folks thinking Trevor Lawrence was sorry.
He almost ruined that.
Straight like that. He, good God.
I mean, he came really, really close to being Trevor Lawrence. We're talking Trevor Lawrence, a bust.
Had him looking like a bum. A bum.
But you know what that has done, though? For the average fan, I mean, if they're paying attention, that should open up their eyes that, hey, maybe some of these guys that get drafted early that don't pan out so well the first 4 or 5 years in their career, maybe, just maybe, it's not because they're a bust, but because they have chaos going on, right, at head coach. That was the most ridiculous, chaotic, just all over the place half a season I've ever seen a head coach have, where you are in the news more than any of your players. They're talking about what you do more than what Trevor's doing. The number one draft.
I'm going to pick Jacksonville for the upset. Quarterback who took a while to get it going. Geno Smith. I want good things to happen for Geno Smith, another black man. I want good things to happen for him, but it ain't going to happen this week. San Francisco by 21.
I got San Francisco winning too.
You said 21?
21.
That's a lot.
The 49ers are hell on wheels.
They're going to show. Wait.
They're fat. Look, they're really, really, really fast.
Yeah.
On defense. And it's like, yo, they run to the ball in hit in a way like they're offended. They think you thought you could score, or that you thought you was going to get a first down. And then you think about it, man. All they got to ask that Brock Purdy dude to do is hold the car in the lane 10-2. Hand the ball to McCaffrey. Throw the ball to IU. Get the ball to Kittle. Because we got the gates of hell on defense.
These things are true.
Hey, look. They got the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, and it didn't look terribly different than this.
It kind of looks better with Purdy.
Yeah, I like Brock Purdy.
Bingo. He's a rookie, and he didn't play the entire season. At some point, that wall is gonna hit. Especially if he's Mr. Irrelevant. It's not like he was a top rookie, and then he's coming in behind an Aaron Rodgers type, like Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, right? If the same thing had happened to Jordan Love, I probably would have a little bit more faith because Jordan Love was drafted highly. But when you're Mr. Irrelevant, the last draft pick, and then your quarterback or your starting quarterback goes down, and you're shoved into the fold, and your team does so happen to be very good on both sides of the ball. But at what point does getting carried, run out? I mean, this isn't like the 2000 Ravens where a team is getting held to like, 11, 12 points a game. This is a new age where teams are going to score, 17 to 21 points almost guaranteed, regardless of who you have on defense. So, can Brock Purdy continue to put up 17-21 plus
4? Yeah, man. That's what it is. But we are out of time here on the Game Plan Podcast. So I got to thank Kennedy Miller, my man, for joining me. Ken?
Yes, sir.
Where can the folks find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. Again, that's _KennedyMiller_.
All right. Hey, yo, man, let the folks know where they can find you on Twitter. Well, you're not on Twitter right now.
Nope.
I can't never get a handle on where you are or aren't on social media because you be getting kicked off. You and Kanye.
You can find me on Instagram at Aaron the Great with 2 underscores. Again, that's Aaron the Great with 2 underscores.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. Follow the show on Instagram at _TheGamePlanPodcast. Again, follow the show on Instagram at _TheGamePlanPodcast. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Aaron O'Connor Fua and Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast, and we will see you guys next time.